This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله آمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد وفرقان حميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما صدق الله العظيم. فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that just as He has gathered us here today on this day of Jumu'ah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us along with our families in Jannat al-Firdaws al-A'la in the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, many of us are struggling with various things in our life. But there are some things that are beyond our control. There are some things that are beyond our control. What we're seeing in Gaza right now, for the most part, it is beyond our control. There are a few things that we can do, of course. And we have talked about that in many khutbahs. But today I want to focus on the problems and the issues that you and I, we are facing, that we do have a solution for. But we just are not opting for those solutions. We're not choosing those solutions. One of the things that I have seen very common in my emails that I receive on a daily basis, or the people that I meet very often, is that people are struggling when it comes to their emotions. And when it comes to their emotions, it's the emotions that have to do with other people. There are many people who are struggling with that. They're struggling with the idea that, what can I do to please other people? They're constantly obsessed and focused on impressing other people. They feel rejected. They feel that they are not accepted. They feel that there are people who are demeaning them. They feel that they are surrounded by people who are toxic, and they don't know what to do. There are people who tell me that people are judging them for their kids. People are talking about their kids, or talking about their job, or talking about their lifestyle. And they feel that the entire world is just collapsing upon them. And they're just so focused on what people are doing and what people are saying around them. And they're going through, literally, I kid you not when I say this, they're going through anxiety. They're going through depression. And not only that, but there are people who, first of all, they say that socially, I don't feel right around everyone else. But then there are people who will come in your life and they will say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also not pleased with you. Allah is angry at you. And subhanAllah, the first thing I have to ask when people say these kind of things is that, did you receive an email from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Did you receive a text message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this person is not liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Any person who tells you in your life that Allah is not pleased with you, the first thing I'm going to tell you is they have absolutely no means, and they have no right to tell you and tell any one of us that Allah is not pleased with us. And number two is, you need to ask them the simple question that, what, how do they know that Allah is not pleased with them? If they have knowledge of the unseen, then can you please share with me more knowledge of the unseen? Yes, someone can say that perhaps you're doing something and something is happening in your life. Perhaps this is a sign that Allah is displeased with you. That is acceptable. Or to say to someone that perhaps you're doing something that is wrong, Allah may get upset with you. That's a different thing. But subhanAllah, the point is, brothers and sisters, we're living around people and we are so affected by what people are saying and doing things and what they think about us, and we're just totally obsessed with that. That is causing a lot of difficulty in our personal lives. So the question is that, how do we conduct our own personal affairs? We live around people, but how do we conduct ourselves? And what do we learn from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? First of all, is there's four things I'm going to share with you today, and keep these four things in mind. Number one, we cannot be worried about what people are going to say and what people are going to think about us. How much are we going to run after people? You try to please one person, the other person is going to get upset. There was a story that there was a husband and a wife. They were walking with a donkey. And this story really shows us that there is no way you can please people and you can change people's opinion. So they were walking with a donkey, and people, they were passing by people, and that some people they said that what kind of a foolish couple they are. They have a donkey, instead of walking, they can ride the donkey. So they both got on the donkey. After a while, people began to say that, don't you have any mercy on the donkey? Both of you are sitting on the donkey. You both should be getting off. So they both got off. Then again, some people said, you should not just be using the donkey. Someone should ride the donkey. Okay, the man put his wife on the donkey. After a while, people began to say that what kind of disrespectful woman she is, that she's making her husband walk. He's the one who's supposed to be on the donkey, and she should be on foot. So they switched places. After a while, people began to say that what kind of an insensitive husband he is, that he's riding the donkey and he's making the wife be on foot. The moral of the story is, you cannot please people. People are always going to have an opinion about you. People are always going to say things about you. And the more we care about that, the more we're going to hold ourselves down. So the very first thing is that we cannot worry about what people are going to say and what people are going to think about us. And this is something that we have learned from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet alaihi wasallam had a mission. Just like today, you and I, we have goals, we have aspirations, and we should just run towards those aspirations, and we should try to chase those goals. But at the same time, people are always going to come. They're always going to come in our way. They're always going to try to deceive us and distract us. But the point is that we cannot be worried about that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also had a life mission, and that was to call everyone to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there were times when the Quraysh came, and they tried to guilt trip Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They tried to make him feel guilty that what he's doing is wrong. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not worry about what people are going to say. He was literally canceled in the society. Besides his own followers, his own sahaba, amongst the general Meccans, he was considered as a canceled person. But what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? He focused on what task he had ahead of him, because he realized that if I try to please them, then I'm going to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his focus was, let me please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and people are going to have their opinion, people are going to say whatever they want to say, but I will not stop. And it came to the point that eventually the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was being asked by the Quraysh, that what are you looking for? Are you looking for fame? Are you looking for women? Are you looking for wealth? We'll give you everything, but just stop what you're doing. And at that time, the Prophet ﷺ, he said that even if you put the sun in one hand and the moon on the other hand, which is absolutely impossible, but even if you were to do the impossible, it will not stop me. And it was after that point, after this statement of Rasulullah ﷺ, that they sort of backed off, and they then began to employ other means to stop Rasulullah ﷺ in his mission. But the point is, brothers and sisters, that people are going to say things about you. If it has happened to the Prophet ﷺ, it's going to happen to you. It happens to me, it happens to all of us. People will come and say very insensitive things. Things that are extremely derogatory. And they will just say it and walk away. That you don't even have a time and a chance to respond to them. And it's sitting, you go home or you're driving your car, and that one statement is eating you away. It's crawling under your skin, and you feel restless, you feel hopeless, and you feel like that, I wish I can just come back in front of that person and I will speak my mind and so forth. But brothers and sisters, let that person go. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Just walk away. These are ignorant people. Allah is telling you, just walk away. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that whenever I got into a debate with anyone, I would floor my opponents. But there was one kind of person that I was never able to defeat in any conversation, and that person was the jahil person. You can't reason with jahil people. You can't reason with ignorant people. These are their signs of their ignorance. And what happens is that if we keep on thinking about it and let it eat us away, then they're living, as they say, they are living in your head rent-free. You've heard this statement before. They live in your head rent-free. they are eating you away while they go outside and they are enjoying their life, their personal life, their family life, but their statement and their comment is eating you away. Brothers and sisters, don't put yourself in that kind of situation. Just rise higher. And let me give you another example to help you understand this. You know, it is mentioned about eagles, and I'm sure you've probably seen this example before. When you look at a bald eagle soars very high. They fly very high. And there is a certain bird called the crow. The crow sits on the head of the eagle, and it just sits there and it pecks at the head of the eagle. But what does the eagle do? He knows that this bird is of no use to me. Even if I try to let it go or try to make it go away, it's not going to go. So what does the eagle do? The eagle flies high. He flies really, really high. And it gets to a point in the atmosphere that the crow can no longer breathe. It has no oxygen. While the eagle can go further higher, the crow eventually comes to a point and it leaves. And the crow and the eagle keeps on going higher. The moral of the story is, there's always going to be people in your life who are going to try to hold you back from your success. But just go higher and higher in life. And these people will eventually just go away from your life. So that's the very first thing is, we need to let go of what people are going to think about us, what people are going to say about us, and just ignore it. And at that time, that the most important thing to solve this problem is, try to be around people who are going to appreciate you for who you are. Because even at that time, if someone shares their opinion about you, but you know that they care about you, you're going to take their opinion very, very seriously because they care for you. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, which is very important in this subject matter, is that we try to make sure that we remove anyone in our life who is considered as toxic. What is the definition of being a toxic person? A toxic person is always the insecure person. And what they want to do is that they know that they try to prey on you. And they try to make you feel insecure so that it gives them support in their insecurity. They're not proud of who they are, but they need some kind of companionship. So they prey on that kind of person. They try to make that person feel inferior. Why? Because they know that they are not good enough, but I need someone to share the same insecurity with me also. And these kind of toxic people need to be removed from your life. Once again, this is another kind of jahiliyyah, kind of, you know, these kind of people, they are jahil in their nature and so forth. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا اللَّغْوَ أَعْرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَقَالُوا لَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. When you hear any kind of al-lagwa, toxic people, they like to spew hate. They like to spew their insecurity. They like to make you feel that you are absolutely nothing. When they say this kind of al-lagwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what to do in that kind of situation. فَقَالُوا لَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. I have nothing to do with you. You on your own way, I'm on my own way. You live your life, I'm going to live my life. I don't need to be around them. And by the way, this statement also tells us that when there are toxic people in our community, toxic people in your family, you don't need to go and socialize with them. The fact that Allah is saying, لَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. For me, I have my life. For you, you have your life. Allah is telling us, don't socialize with these kind of people. Because the more you socialize with these people, the more they're gonna project their insecurity and their toxicity upon you. What are some of those signs that they are toxic? Number one is, they always try to make you feel jealous. They always try to give you the sense that they are possessive. They always are the ones who are putting you down. They are the ones who want to dictate what goes on in your life. They want you. They want to be in charge and control of your life, that your emotions are in their hands. This is the sign of a toxic person. A narcissistic person is a toxic person. So when you have these kind of people in your life, you need to learn how to just remove them from your life. They are of no good. Now, a person may ask, what if there are people like that in my own family? And these are questions that come to me often. What if my husband is toxic? What if my wife is toxic? What if my family members are toxic? And what if my mother-in-law is toxic? You know how many cases I get of the mother-in-laws, okay? My mother-in-law is toxic, my father-in-law is toxic, and so forth. I hear these stories over and over again. In that kind of situation, if something is happening in your immediate family, then you need to go and seek counseling immediately. And if it's happening in your extended family members, and they are toxic in their nature, then you don't need to be around them. Yes, if they come across you, assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam, that is your Islamic right upon them. Besides that, there is nowhere in the Quran or nowhere in the Sunnah that says you need to be around them. Yes, there is something called being good to your relatives, but if they are toxic, and every time you are around them, they make you feel inferior, and they put you down, and they put your kids down, and your family down, and your work down, and your life down, there's no need to be around them. Simple as that. And there are times when people have come to me in my office, and they have told me that I have family members who are toxic. And I usually ask them, because sometimes we don't even know the definition of toxicity. So I usually will ask them that, what are the signs? What do they do? When they describe to me, then that is usually when I have also told some people, you don't need to be around them. You need to just remove them from your life. And yes, they come across you, they say assalamu alaikum, you say assalamu alaikum assalam to them, and you be good to them, but you don't need to be around them. So this is something extremely important that we need to understand, is we need to just remove them in from that kind of situation. And you know, subhanAllah, there's an example I can share with you, that when it comes to toxic people, they're always going to pull you down. You know, there was I've shared this example before. You may have heard me say this before. There was a pet talent show that took place. And a man, he brought two crabs. And he said that, I'm going to, you know, he brought his crabs. And he, you know, everyone brought their pets to showcase to everyone else. So people told him that, you know, you need to put them in a box, or you need to put them into like a glass box or something, or dig up a hole or something. But you need to just make sure that, you know, they don't crawl out and go anywhere else. And he says, no, don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. Just look at how they behave. And what he did was that he dug a small hole in the ground, and he put both of the crabs in there. And what people began to observe is that as one crab was trying to crawl out, the other crab was pulling him down. And the other crab is trying to get out, and it will pull him down. This is the sign. This, you know, this happens a lot in our life. We're trying to move forward, and people are going to always pull us down. We need to be away from those kind of people. Because the only way we can move forward in life is if we have nothing to do with them. So this is the second thing. The third thing, brothers and sisters, listen to me very carefully when I say this. Please stop trying to impress other people. Wallahi, we are living in a social media digital era where everyone is trying to impress someone else. Everyone is trying to showcase themselves online. And the problem is that we, you know, there are people who are just obsessed with impressing other people. And when they cannot impress other people, because these kind of people, they will put something on social media, and after every 2 minutes, they will go back to social media to see how many likes, how many forwards, how many shares. They're just obsessed with it, okay? And now when they don't get that attention that they are looking for, they will begin to do things that are uncharacteristic with their nature. They will start to do things that are completely impermissible. They will start to do things that they usually don't do. Why? Because they are obsessed with other people's attention. If there's one attention that we need and one approval that we need, it's only Allah's approval. It's only Allah's attention. That's the only thing we need to be focused on. And this is the sign, by the way, of a munafiq also. A munafiq is always obsessed about making sure that people are seeing the good that they are doing. A munafiq, in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we learn, for the munafiq, there were two salahs that were very, very difficult for them. It was Fajr and Isha. You know why Fajr and Isha was difficult for them? Because in the dark, they never had street lamps like we have today. They would come walking to the masjid. So people would not recognize that they were the ones coming for salat. They were the ones who wanted to let everyone know that, look at me, I'm going to the masjid. So when they would do this, and it was dark at night in Isha and Fajr, they would feel like, they, you know what, no one will see us going to the masjid. We will not get the credit for it. So hence, why do we even go for Fajr and Isha to the masjid? You understand? This was their mentality. So this idea, by the way, it is also affecting many people, that we are so obsessed and we are so crazy about gaining other people's approvals. Brothers and sisters, let me make this very clear to all of you here, including myself, that you might please one person, but there's no way you can please the next person. You run after people's approval and people's acceptance, and trust me, you will keep on running around in circles for the rest of your life, and you will not be able to please everyone. Rather, the focus should be that we need to impress only one, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, the fourth thing that we need to keep in mind is that we need to make sure, especially, this is connected to sort of number three, when we talk about social media and so forth, is that we need to focus on our good deeds, that in a way that we do not incur riya and show off within our own part. That means that there are some people, in order to please others, they always are trying to do good. But what happens in doing that good, a lot of times riya comes into the picture. So they start doing good things, actually good things. They start coming to the masjid. But why am I coming to the masjid? Because I want that one person to see that I'm coming to the masjid. Or I'm doing this something good, I'm going outside, I'm distributing charity and so forth. And because of that, they're taking pictures and so forth. Now I do want to make this very clear. There are a lot of organizations that they do have to take pictures, and they do have to take, you know, pictures and document everything that they're doing, because they need to show their donors that their money is being put in the right place. Because there are a lot of times donors, they feel like that some organizations may take our money, but they will not use their money and dispense the money the correct way. So a lot of times organizations, they will take pictures, and a lot of times there are people who say that this is not the right thing. Why are they going and taking pictures, and is it riya and so forth? That's not riya. Riya is that there's no one around you, and you're giving someone a dollar, or you're putting something in the sadaqah box, or you're giving someone something, food to eat, and you sit there and you take a selfie. This is happening very often today in our society, where the small things that we are doing, because no one else is going to see it, and we want people's appreciation, not realizing, brothers and sisters, that if this is what's in our mind, then we're not getting any reward. We're not getting any reward or getting any reward for the good that we are doing. We need to learn how to apply ikhlas in our life, especially right now. I'm telling this very honestly. In this day and age, one of the greatest fitnas, or one of the greatest challenges in this day and age, for imams and shuyukh and du'at and everyone who's doing any kind of good work, listen to me very carefully. In my personal understanding, the greatest challenge, because of social media, is ikhlas. Is ikhlas. Because so many of us, so many people are doing good things, but we're doing it to impress other people, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give us anything for this. So these are four things that we need to keep in mind, especially when it comes to other people. And we, in order to ensure that we are not enslaved to other people, in order to ensure that people are not the ones who are controlling us. Because I read this in a book, it was a very beautiful example. In your life, you are like in a car. If you are in the driver's seat of your car, then you can take it wherever you want. But if you are in the passenger seat of your car, then you have absolutely no, you cannot dictate wherever you're going in life. We need to be the driver of our own car. We cannot be a passenger in our own car and let other people dictate what we do in our lives. Yes, of course, I have to say this, that if we're doing something that is wrong, or if I'm hurting someone, or I'm displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and someone's giving us advice, of course we take that advice. But otherwise, we need to be very careful, making sure that we keep our emotions in check. And while we are living around everyone, you're going to have all sorts of people in the community, all sorts of people in your families. Each one of us, right now sitting over here, we all have certain people in our own personal families who are very challenging. People who are in our very close friend circle who are very challenging and so forth. But as long as we keep these four things in mind, inshallah, we will be able to navigate any challenge in our life. Once again, the first thing is, we cannot be worried about people's opinions and what people are saying about us. Number two is, try to remove toxic people from your life. If they are within your own family, then you need to seek counseling immediately. Number three is, try not to work so hard or do not try to impress people. The only one that we need to impress is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number four is making sure that in impressing people, we don't incur riya or we don't do anything that in a way that we are doing it for other people's pleasure or to please other people or to gain their praises. Otherwise, this falls into the category of riya and we'll get no good. We will not get any hasanat, no khair, no barakah for any good that we are doing. For any khair that we are doing, we will not get anything in this dunya or in the akhirah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who are emotionally strong. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our hearts strong. Ameen rabbil alameen. Barakallahu lana wa lakum fil Qur'an azeem. Wa nafa'ana wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri al hakeem. Astaghfirullah li wa lakum. Wa li sa'il muslimin fastaghfiru innahu huwal ghafur rahim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Last thing I will share with all of you is that there is a very beautiful dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that often he would recite whenever he would go out. اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أضل أو أضل أو أزل أو أزل أو 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 أظلم أو أظلم أو أجهل أو أجهل علي. This was a very beautiful dua of the Prophet ﷺ, which meant that Ya Allah, I seek refuge in you from slipping up or being the victim of someone else or some or being the victim of slipping up or someone allowing me to slip up. Or me deceiving someone, or I'm the victim of someone else's deceit, or I commit dhulm against anyone, and or someone commit dhulm against me, or I am ignorant towards anyone, or I am the victim of someone else's ignorance. This is a dua that I would strongly recommend that we all should recite every single day. And every single day you leave home, memorize this dua, read this dua, because this was the nature of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give all of us the tawfiq. Ameen rabbil alameen. Allahumma ansur Islam wal muslimin. Allahumma ansur Islam wal muslimin fi kulli makan. Allahumma ansurna ala man khalafana. Wa ahfad biladana wa aslih awladana. Wa ashfi marzana wa afi mubtalana. Wa arham mawtana wa khud biaydina ila kulli khair. Wa asimna min kulli shar. Wa ahfadna min kulli dair. Allahumma qasimna min khashyatika ma tahulu bihi bayna wa bayna ma'asiyat. ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن يقين ما تهون علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أحيتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا رزقا واسعا وشفاء من كل داء. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعاء لا يستجاب. آمين رب العالمين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. أقيم الصلاة. Australian Alliance, fill in the gaps. Brothers in the back two rooms, please make sure you come inside the main hall. Sisters, please make sure the rows are straight. Please make sure the rows are complete, sisters. Brothers, please make sure the rows are complete. The rows are straight. If you're standing in the back two rooms, please make sure the rows are complete. Often the rows are incomplete. Brothers in the back, in the multipurpose hall, please come inside. There's still ample amount of space in the main hall and the back two rooms. There should be no one in the multipurpose hall. The multipurpose hall is for overflow purposes. There's not an overflow right now. Please come inside the main hall or come inside the back two rooms.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله استغفر